Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, he begins a timely and encouraging series to help you during these challenging days. It's called Dreams and Detours.
Joseph is given a dream. Hey, I want to ask you a question. Do you have a dream? Do you have a dream in your heart? Something that God has given you? Some word, some vision, some picture of what God wants to do in your life? So I want to give you three encouragements about a dream for your life.
God-given dreams are a wonderful thing, but so often the dreams take time to come to fruition. In the in-between time, detours and disappointments seem to line the pathway. How are you handling the detours in your life? Are you planning to give up or remain faithful? This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you for joining us today for the first day of June, as Pastor Jeff begins a timely series entitled Dreams and Detours, Lessons from the Life of Joseph, with today's first message entitled The Birth of a Dream. Now, Pastor, as we begin this month, tell us what this series is all about.
Larry, I'm excited about this new series on the life of Joseph called Dreams and Detours. Joseph is such a great example of what it means to be a follower, a faithful follower of the Lord God. God gave Joseph dreams when he was just 17 years old, wonderful dreams, but it took a long time for those dreams to become a reality, and he experienced lots of hurts and betrayals along the way. From his life, God helps us see how we can trust him no matter what and how he truly is a faithful God who always keeps his word.
Of course, many people's dreams have been dashed so far in 2020. But this series will be a practical and a timely encouragement to you, for sure. Now, if you will, open your Bible to Genesis chapter 37. Here again is Pastor Jeff to begin the series Dreams and Detours with a lesson that starts at the beginning called The Birth of a Dream.
You know, Joseph in the Old Testament was known as the dreamer. He was a guy that God gave a dream to, actually several dreams to, all with the same theme, and not always a dream that was well thought of in his family. So we're going to talk about dreams today. I've entitled this message, The Birth of a Dream, because God in Genesis 37 gives a brand new dream to a man named Joseph. Now, if you know about the Old Testament, you know Joseph is a key figure in the Old Testament. And really, when you read in the book of Genesis, we cover hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, yea, thousands of years in the Old Testament and in the book of Genesis. You know, it was about 1,567 years from the time of creation until the flood came. And that's all covered in the first six, seven chapters of Genesis. Really, it starts again with Noah in chapter 9, with him starting over. So the Bible covers lots of space in a short amount of time, covering all those hundreds and hundreds of years. But when you get to the end of chapter 11 in the book of Genesis, we're introduced to a man named Abram. His name was going to be changed by God to Abraham. And it's about his family, Abraham, and his son Isaac, and his son Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons and a daughter. Jacob's name was changed from Jacob, which means trickster, supplanter, heel grabber, scammer, con man. That's what the name Jacob means, all you Jacobs out there. The Lord changed his name to Israel, which means prince with God. And Israel had those 12 sons. We know them as the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 sons of Jacob. And so we're going to look at the special son. His name was Joseph. And of the 12 sons, the Bible really zeroes in on this one, Joseph, and his dream. Genesis chapter 37, I'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, "Now Jacob lived in the land where his father had sojourned, in the land of Canaan. These are the records of the generations of Jacob. Joseph, when 17 years of age, was pasturing the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth, along with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah." Bilhah and Zilpah were maids who became wives of his daddy Jacob, his father's wives. And Joseph brought back a bad report about his brothers to their father. Now Israel, who is also Jacob, same person. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons because he was the son of his old age. He had little Joe when he was about 90. He was the son of his old age, and he made him a very colored tunic, the coat of many colors. Verse 4, "And his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, and so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. Then Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. And he said to them, 'Please listen to this dream which I have had. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up also, stood erect, and behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf.' Then his brothers said to him, 'Are you actually going to reign over us, or are you really going to rule over us?' So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words." The story of Joseph. Joseph is an Old Testament picture of Jesus Christ. So many similarities between Joseph in the Old Testament and Jesus in the New Testament. Joseph is one of the Old Testament figures where the Bible doesn't say anything negative about him. We read negative things about Abraham. We read negative things about Isaac. We read lots of negative things about Jacob, but we don't read anything negative about Joseph. Joseph had a sensitive heart to the things of God. Joseph was godly. Joseph was pure. Joseph was beloved of his father. Joseph was rejected and hated by his brothers. Joseph was sold for some pieces of silver. See the connection between Joseph and Jesus? Joseph rose to a place of authority in the land of Egypt, really in the world, because Egypt was the world power at that time. Great authority. They paraded Joseph around and said, "Bow the knee to Joseph." Every knee should bow to Joseph. A picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Joseph was given a name as he saved Egypt and the surrounding nations from the famine. He was given a name, Zephaniah-Paniah, which means savior of the world. Wow, such a correlation between Joseph in the Old Testament and Jesus in the New Testament. He prefigures, in a human way, prefigures what Jesus did in a much grander way, in a spiritual way, for all of the people of the world. But Joseph, to start everything off, Joseph is given a dream. Hey, I want to ask you a question. Do you have a dream? Do you have a dream today, a dream in your heart, something that God has given you, some word, some vision, some picture of what God wants to do in your life? If you don't, we want to help you with that today. God has put this message in my heart. There are many different ways to go in this passage, and this is the message that the Lord gave me. So I want to give you three encouragements about a dream for your life. Encouragement number one, God has a special dream for each one of us. God has a special dream for each one of us. He had one for Joseph. We read about that. The Lord gave him a dream. Now this, what he gave Joseph was a dream. It's one of those you go to sleep at night and you have a dream in your subconscious and you see things and then you wake up and it's that kind of a dream. Now when I'm using the word dream, God did a lot of that in the Old Testament. He gave people those kinds of dreams. I'm not using it in that kind of a narrow context. I'm using it in a broader context of something that God puts in your mind, puts in your heart, that is some kind of word, some kind of a vision. Maybe it is an actual dream at night that the Lord gave you. But really in the New Testament, God doesn't speak through dreams like he did in the Old Testament, because God has given us of his Spirit. And so God speaks primarily through his word. God speaks in church. God speaks through other believers. God speaks through circumstances. But primarily God is going to speak to you through his word. So do you have something that God has given you, a word from the word about your life? I believe that God has that for each one of us, not just for Joseph, but for each one of us. You say, well, why do you believe that? I believe that for a couple of reasons. Number one, God is a purposeful God. God is a purposeful God. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 4, the Lord has made everything for its own purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil. He's made everything for a reason, for a purpose. As one translation says, God has a plan for everything. And he has a reason and purpose for everything he does. He has a reason and purpose for everything he makes. God is not some half-baked, willy-nilly kind of God, where he's just like, well, I'm just gonna throw this against the wall and that against the wall, we'll see what sticks. No, everything that God does has a purpose and has a plan behind it, has a reason for it. Everything God makes, and everyone God makes, God has a purpose and a plan for that one. It's a different plan. God's plan for me is not the same as God's plan for you. God can make someone who has a very short life, but that one still has a plan, because God is a purposeful God. And God has a purpose and a plan for your life and for mine, because he does everything with purpose. Now, the scripture says, makes it very clear, that God created us, every single one of us. The baby that forms in the womb is not some blob. It's a life. And God gave that that seed and the egg. God brought that together and God gave life. Only God can do that. And God, the scripture says in Psalm 139, he weaved me together, knit me together in my mother's womb. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. God, the scripture goes on to say, David, Psalm 139, he said, my soul was not hidden from you in secret when I was skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth, speaking of the womb. And that's God. That's God created every single one of us. And God gave us the personality he gave us, and God gave us the physical characteristics that he gave us. God did that. He saw you when you were being formed in your mother's womb. God is the God who created us. God is the God who sees us. One of the great verses, names of God in the Old Testament, Genesis 16, is we're introduced to the name El Roi, the God who sees me. That's what Hagar, Abraham's maid, said about God. She's in a distressful time in her life, pregnant. She was kicked out of the house because Sarah, Abraham's wife, didn't want her in there because she was pregnant and Sarah couldn't get pregnant. She got mad at her, kicked her out, and she's out by herself. I think I'm gonna die out in the desert. And God comes to her and God cares for her. And she says, you are the God who sees me. El Roi, God sees you. He cares for you. He created you. He sees you. He cares for you. He loves you. He loves you. He has something special for your life, a special and wonderful plan. I like what Herbert Banks Jr. had to say. He has this famous quote, believe it or not, you are a real find, a joy in someone's heart. You're a jewel, unique and priceless. How do I know? Because God don't make no junk. Isn't that good? God don't make no junk. So you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and God has a plan for you. And that plan, you know, when we talk about a dream, remember this, a God-given dream is something that is going to glorify God. It's going to be for your good and for God's glory. When we talk about dreams, we're not talking about any selfish, self-centered dream. We're not talking about somebody that says, well, you know, my dream is I'm going to win the Powerball. You know, if you say, well, you know, my dream is to make a bunch of money and buy an island and just sit there and just be on Easy Street. That's not a God-given dream. That's probably a selfish kind of dream. A God-given dream is something that's going to bring glory to God, because that's why we were created. Isaiah 43 verse 7 makes it clear that God created us for his glory. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. The Westminster Shorter Catechism boils down life this way and says the chief aim of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That's why God made us. We're created for his glory. And he gives us dreams and visions and a word from him and this God-given desire for something, and we see it in our minds. He gives us that so that we will glorify him. And that's the purpose of it. He has a special purpose and plan for your life, and he delights in giving a glimpse of the plan. That's the thing about God. God never gives you the whole plan. He just gives you a glimpse of the plan. He gives you a little preview of the plan. He's giving you just a little inkling of what he's going to do. That's what he did for Joseph. Joseph had a dream. What was his dream? Hey, brothers. Now remember, Joseph has, he has 11 brothers. In his family, there are two wives, Leah and Rachel. Rachel was Joseph's mom. And then Leah had a maid, and Leah's maid was named Zilpah, and she had two kids by Jacob, his dad. And Bilhah was Rachel's maid, and Rachel's maid had two kids by Israel, by Jacob. And so there are 12 kids in the family, 12 sons in the family, plus Leah had a daughter named Dinah. So 13 kids in the family, four wives, six of the brothers are full-blooded brothers, all of Leah's kids, because she had six boys. Two were born to Zilpah, two were born to Bilhah, and two were born to Rachel. Joseph and his little brother Benjamin, they're full-blooded brothers. But he's got all these other brothers that are half-blooded because they all have the same dad, but they have different moms. His family was a total mess. Total mess. And so God gives him a dream, and his dream is what I see. We were in the field, and my sheaf rose up, and your sheaf bowed down to my sheaf. That was what he got. Well, that's not much of a trailer, but it's something that God gave him. And then God gives him another dream, and his brothers weren't real crazy about that dream where they bowed down to little Joe. Little Joe is the 11th of the 12 kids. Oldest son is Reuben, and Reuben is probably at least 10 years older than Joseph. And he wasn't crazy about I'm going to bow down to you. I don't think so, little Joe. You got another thing coming. And the scripture says they hated him for his dreams. But God gave him a glimpse of what he was going to do. God does that all throughout the Bible. He gives you a little glimpse. He gave Abraham a little glimpse. When Abraham was living in Ur of the Chaldees, God says, leave your country and go, and I'll make of you a great nation, and your name will be great, and I'll give you children like the stars that are in the sky. Well, Abraham, I mean, it's like, wow, when is this going to happen? God never gives a timetable. God gives you a dream. He doesn't give you a timetable for it. He just gives you a little snippet of what's going to happen, something that whets your appetite, something that gets you excited, but he doesn't tell you when it's going to happen. David, for example, in the Old Testament, he's anointed king. We don't know how old he was, but he is young when he was anointed king, probably 12, 13, 14, something like that. Well, Saul is king when David is anointed king, and Saul wasn't at the anointing saying, well, that's great. Here's my crown, David. No, he didn't. That wasn't like that at all. He's anointed king, but he doesn't become king of all Israel for another 25 years or so. It's a long time. And so God gives a promise. God gave a promise to Abraham that he was going to have a son. He was in his early 70s when he got that promise. Abraham was 100 when Isaac was born. It's a gap in there. So Joseph doesn't know when this is going to happen. He's 17 years old. He's just a youth, but he has a dream, and God gives him a glimpse. God loves to do that, gives you a little glimpse of what he's going to do. Now, not a show of hands, but I want you to answer this question. Do you have a dream that God has given you? Something that God has birthed in your heart that he's going to do in your life, and you know he's going to do it, but you don't know when it's coming. You say, Jeff, I don't have that. I really want that. I'd like to know how to get that. I didn't get a dream like that. Do you just, go to bed, eat a bunch of pizza before you go to bed and think, man, something's going to come up, something spicy, and then who knows what's going to happen. It's not like that. It's not like that. How do we do it? We spend time in the Word of God. As you spend time in the Word of God, God will speak to your heart. And God will give you a word from the Word. There's a Hebrew or a Greek word for that. It's called rhema. It take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word, which is the rhema of God. Now, the Bible uses two words for the word word. It uses logos, L-O-G-O-S. That speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Logos is the whole entirety of the Word. Rhema is a word from the Word. You know, the Roman soldier had two swords that he took with him. He had a big, long sword that he would use on his horse as he would be in battle. It was about 3 feet long, and then he had another sword that he kept with him that was more like a dagger. The Logos is the long sword. The word from the Word, the Rhema, is the short dagger. And as you spend time with God, as you're reading God's Word, God will give you a word from the Word to jump into your heart to say, that's what I want. The Lord, that's what it just resonates with me. When I was a young Christian, just starting to learn, I started to read in the Old Testament, and I read about David. And I read how David was a man after God's own heart. And God chose David when he was just a kid because he had such a heart for God. And I remember thinking, God, that's what I want. That just resonated with me. God, I want to be a man after your own heart. Can you do that in me? And that just gave me such a dream and such a desire to be that kind of a man. God will do that for you and give you a glimpse, and something will resonate within you when God births a dream in your heart. So the first encouragement, God has a special dream for each one of us, and you can find out what it is, just a glimpse, as you spend time with Him and as you seek His face. He delights in giving you a glimpse of the plan.
And with faith in God, a glimpse is a blessing and should be all that we need to continue to trust Him. You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve today, and part one of the first message in his timely series, Dreams and Detours, Lessons from the Life of Joseph. Now, this lesson we started today was called The Birth of a Dream. Now, today is the first day of June, and it's the most important month for us at From His Heart. We're coming to the end of the financial year, and that means we need to finish strong to keep using media and technology as effectively as we can to share God's Word on television, radio, social media, and the internet. Here's the bottom line. This ministry can't happen without you. Your gifts and prayers are critical to help us continue this outreach to lead more people to Jesus and disciple them in God's Word, especially this month, which, as I said, is our fiscal year end. Pastor Jeff is strictly a volunteer for From His Heart, receiving no income from it at all. And that's why we are boldly asking you to please send your best gift by June the 30th, to help From His Heart finish our fiscal year in, ready to expand and reach even more people in 2020. For your gift of $30 or more this month, we'll send you the timely 7-message series, Dreams and Detours, Lessons from the Life of Joseph, along with a copy of Pastor Jeff's book that is so appropriate for these times. It's called Life Interrupted, How to Face a New Normal. And for your gift of $60 or more, we'll also send you his new powerful series, Storms, What to Do in Troubled Times. To find out more about how to get these important resources, call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org. Well, thank you for joining us today on From His Heart as we have begun a brand new month. Join us on Tuesday when Pastor Jeff Shreve will open God's Word to share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve. speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to FromHisHeart.org.